much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Why does Kevin always sit at the bus stop but never gets on a bus?
Please don't bring that up. Don't bring anything he does up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Thanks for seeing me. I'm here because I'm thinking of doing some comedy.
Oh, right, like a comedy movie?
No, on stage. Stand-up comedy, live comedy of some kind.
Wow.
I'm a funny guy, aren't I? I'm funny, right?
Yeah.
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
And now.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Our feature presentation.
Toto picks the weirdest times to announce that this is America.
That is true.
I don't think I fully understand that. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. It is 5:36. I want to start today with a hero.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often, but Paul Marshalsi was in Australia, and they were at the beach enjoying themselves. A bunch of little kids were over on the side, and he saw a shark heading toward the little kids.
Oh, wow.
So what do you do? I mean, on one hand, they're heading for the little kids. On the other hand, it's dumb for anyone to approach a shark, right? It's
yeah.
not your first reaction.
I just run around waving my arms yelling, shark.
Okay.
Right? All right? Isn't that what you would do?
And then the noise attracts the shark and you don't have legs.
Oh.
So the guy walks over toward the shark and grabs its tail and pushes it away from the kids. Like, forces it away from the kids. A TV station was there doing some other kind of story, and they saw what was going on. They videotaped it. So now the dude is saving the kids from a shark, and he's considered a hero in Australia.
Well, I should think so.
Back home in Britain, where he's taking time off for sick leave. They took notice of their guy who was on sick leave for 2 months because he was in Australia saving some kids' lives with a shark.
Now what do you do?
Now you would think maybe they would go, well, you know, it worked out so well. Maybe we could use some positive press.
No.
Maybe he really did need to be on vacation. And yet when you're there and you see something, maybe, you know, his better instincts kicked in and he just took care of the shark. But got back home, showed him the video and said, hasta la vista.
Oh.
You are fired, sir.
2 months sick leave? I mean, isn't that like you're in the hospital kind of sick leave?
Well, I think that's probably why they were saying that. I mean, supposedly
he was in Australia.
He's working 7 days a week and burned out through stress.
Yeah.
So you can sort of see maybe a doctor saying you need to get away from everything and
yeah.
a new surrounding, new environment. So you can sort of see going to Australia for a couple of months.
But clearly he didn't tell him.
Well, and I think what was wrong was he was claiming physical problems. And then they showed him in the water,
yeah.
And he was moving like a superhero.
He was a ninja.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he's just all over the place. So he got back home, and they said,
I've made my decision. You're fired.
That's rough.
Fired him.
Oh, man. No good deed, as they say.
No good deed. All right, that's our first story for today. Let's talk about the rest of today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dana White on the program today.
Yes, we do.
President of the UFC, talking about UFC 158, which is this weekend. It's GSP versus Nick Diaz. And, boy, Nick Diaz is just, I don't know.
What? What is he?
He's just got a giant chip on his shoulder. The Diaz brothers both have giant chips on their shoulders. They came from a terrible place, Stockton or someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get the recognition they deserve and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it just looks like they're on the verge of crying at all times. They just look like they're
just, I remember Beer Mike doing the face
yeah,
yesterday.
Just in just constant bad moods. You go, look, take it easy. You know, why are you so... Almost like a teenager that's just mad at the world.
So you won't be cheering them on, or him?
I will not, no. I will be cheering for GSP. But there have been some great back and forth between these two fighters about this particular fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Diaz telling GSP that he's spoiled rotten and all this kind of stuff. And everybody hands him stuff on a silver platter. And they got in a fight on a conference call where they were having some kind of a press conference. I mean, it's just...
Oh, this should be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have The Worst Place You Fell Asleep. which is probably going to be dominated by the King of Mexico, as he has a problem with falling asleep everywhere all the time.
I think he has narcolepsy.
I think so, too. He used to fall asleep in his car. He says he doesn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. But the worst place you fell asleep is based on Dennis Rodman, who was in a child custody hearing. I'm sorry, not Dennis Rodman. Did I say Dennis Rodman?
Yes.
Lamar Odom.
Oh.
Who was in a custody hearing for his children.
Oh, no.
When the judge noticed that he was dozing.
Oh, God.
That seems like bad timing.
Wow.
That seems like maybe you want to act like you're a little more interested than that. We also have Steve Carell on the program today. How about that? He's in the incredible Burt Wonderstone.
He looks so funny.
They all look funny.
Yeah.
They all just, I mean, it's almost hard to parody, you know, magicians because they already
wear
ridiculous costumes and they're just doing nothing but posing most of the time. But this movie looks great. And I made the DMV my bitch yesterday.
Did you?
That happened.
Wow. I can't wait to hear about that.
Tell you about that. And we've got tickets for April Foolishness as well. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Coming up after the top of the hour, what is going on with a fire facial? That just seems like that is a bad idea.
It does.
Seems like no good can come from it. So we will discuss. It's time for Ralph Showbiz Beat, the first one of the day. How's it going, Ralph?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Excellent.
Couldn't be better because, you know, Sean the Bachelor, we were all talking about yesterday.
And by we all,
our
you mean?
Our buddy Sean. Hmm. Sean Lowe, the Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good news. He's just joined the current cast of Dancing with the Stars. Woo!
He's like the third one, isn't he?
Woo! Yeah, here's the thing with ABC.
That's great. Something else I can't see him on. Can
you,
I try that
you know
again?
What he
no,
meant.
I'm strong. Moving on. Here's the thing about ABC. It's genius because like 9 million people watch The Bachelor, right?
Right.
So Dancing with the Stars, your other hit, you take those two things, you combine them. Ooh, mega hit,
that's
right?
Pretty smart.
It's smart. It's good crossover promotion stuff.
Nope.
By the way, Brad has said that he and Catherine, his fiance, are really genuinely in love, and they're right. Really, really getting married.
Right.
Can't wait for the invitation.
Well, you won't have to get an invitation, Lisa, because it's going to be televised on ABC.
Really, what a surprise.
So, okay.
What about the annulment?
Well, they're getting paid.
Is the annulment going to be on TV, too?
No. How dare you, sir. Now we know why Justin Bieber may be so cranky lately.
It's his time of the month.
Well, there's that, but also tragic news. His hamster, Pac, has gone to that big habit trail in the sky. You may remember habit, the fan he gave the hamster to after that show. Remember it was a big hullabaloo?
No, wow. I don't.
You don't remember that deal? It was, I guess it was in December of last year, that there was some fans waiting outside. He had played one of these radio shows. And he came out with the hamster in a cage, and it was a screen fan, and he gave her the hamster in the cage. Everybody, the American Hamster Society went off.
They went crazy.
Went off the rails saying, hey, hamsters are very sensitive creatures. You can't just have them live from one house to another, and this is unacceptable. And they went nuts. And
right.
Anyway, the female fan that he gave Pac the hamster to, I'm guessing that's short for Tupac.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Victoria Blair, she reported that Pac has now passed on, so.
Wow.
Maybe that's why Biebs is so upset. His beloved butt buddy Pack is now gone away. By the way, Jack Osborne tweeted this week that the Bieb was about to literally unravel in front of our eyes. Osborne knows a thing or two about musicians going off the rails.
He does.
Maybe he's got something going on. We can only hope.
He really is heading right down the Britney cutting off her hair.
He is. Does he know spinning out? Not to be outdone, Lady Gaga has been seen in public for the first time since she had that operation for that torn labrum in her hip. Remember, she had that hip surgery, had to cancel all those dates on her concert tour. But, of course, being Gaga, she can't just be recuperating like a person. She's been seen rolling around New York City this week in a bright yellow 24-karat gold wheelchair.
Oh.
It was specifically designed for her. Made out of tufted calf leather in the seats. And the wheels and on the hardware are all 24-karat gold-plated. So that's how she's rolling around.
That is how she rolls.
That literally is how she rolls with her hip.
Don't you get the idea that these people's lives are so public that when they're not on stage or whatever, they'd want a little privacy? That the hey, look at me factor would go down just a little?
See, this is why the terrorists hate us. There's probably people in countries that people have no legs who are rolling around on those bad carts, you know, selling pencils in the marketplace.
Right.
And they look on the news and they see Lady Gaga in a gold wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because the gold really helps her get better. Oh, no, wait a minute. It has nothing to do with it.
She's got swag, man.
Ah, oh, she's got swag. Hey, you know who else has swag? Alfred Molina. Our buddy Alfred Molina. We talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
I wish he had told us yesterday that his series Monday Mornings was not expected to go to a second season.
Well,
and he's got a new job. He's doing a sitcom.
Really?
Yes. He's just signed for an NBC comedy pilot called Assistance, a sitcom where he will co-star with the star of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, Kristen Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Ritter, that brunette from that show. They are going to be co-starring on a sitcom together because Monday Mornings, the TNT series that he stars in, is not expected to last much longer.
Now, this all happened after we talked to him yesterday?
I'm guessing this has been in the offing for some time now.
Why would we talk to him yesterday?
I don't know.
Sure is a good show.
Already moving on.
God bless him. He was there doing the good job. He was fighting the good fight trying to sell that show to us, but it looks like it doesn't really matter. It's not going to last anyway.
Huh.
It would be great if he had come out and said, guys, I know I'm on to promote that show, but it's dying.
Let's be honest. No one's watching.
It's dying in the vines. So it doesn't really matter. Let me tell you what else I got going on. I might be doing a sitcom, and it would have been interesting. And while we're talking about casting news, J.J. Abrams has a new drama on Fox called Human, set in the near future where members of the LAPD are each teamed up with highly evolved human-like androids.
Ah.
It's Cop and RoboCop as partners. They've just announced that the star of the show will be Minka Kelly.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
Lovely and talented star of Friday Night Lights, of course. And she was one of Charlie's Angels when they tried to reboot that for 5 minutes, didn't they? I think she was in that, too. So, I don't know. If it comes from J.J. Abrams.
I agree.
I'm in. I'm automatically giving it a shot because he does good stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Emil Hirsch from Into the Wild, and he, of course, was Speed Racer, 28 years old today. Danny Masterson from That 70 Show is 37. Common celebrates his 41st birthday. Adam Clayton, bassist of U2, is 53 years old. And Dana Delaney from China Beach and Tombstone, the movie, and now Body of Proof, that unwatchable show on ABC. She is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just after 7 this morning, Steve Carell. And then we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Dana White talking UFC. Big show today, but we do have time for some Afro. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic. Even if you're not listening to our show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know I checked out Building Mountains at the Trube last night. Man, they really stunk it up.
I'd hate to hear that. Building Mountains was playing. Who knew? I saw this tweet, too, and it was a little disconcerting because you kind of feel like most of your friends are sort of on the same page as you.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's a super funny guy. I like him a lot, but he did tweet this.
Balls.
Nope, wrong one. Sorry. That's first the ode to balls, and then we'll get to Joe Rogan.
Balls.
Excellent.
So I wake up this morning after a very long weekend and a time change. The very first thing I hear is the Armenian comedian blabbering on about who knows what. And then I hear Kevin egging him on. I hate you. I hate you so much. I ought to kick your ass for wasting my time.
I agree. 100%. I'm with you.
Look, I understand Sam's not for everybody. That's why...
He's just for you.
That's why I don't
do... understand that?
That's why I don't do what I want to do, which is talk to him all morning, every morning.
You're the only one, Kevin.
I know. I'm aware of that.
All right.
I'm all right with that, but...
Hey, I heard that Sam, the Armenian comedian, was going to open April Foolishness. No!
Pretty good delivery.
It is.
Not bad.
Boy's got lungs.
I'm selling my ticket. Fire beer mug, please. Thank you.
He got everything in there.
After all that, no, it was really mostly about beer mug.
They start him young, too.
Fire beer mug. Fire beer mug.
Good point, little girl. Fire beer mug indeed.
Hey, you guys all right? I heard there was a big-ass earthquake, and the only thing I can assume was that beer mug's fat ass must have had his heart attack finally and fell over dead in the studio. And he's so fat and registered on the Richter scale, that piece of crap. See you, fat girl.
Yeah, we haven't played Beer Mug's Fat Song in a long time.
Oh, no, you're right. There is a theme here.
Should we use this this time?
While he puts those noodles in his mouth.
While he jams food in his mouth.
Sure.
He can't even not eat while we're on the air. We play commercials, we play songs. There's plenty of time to eat.
Well, he eats that whole time.
I'm hungry.
So, I've been trying to diet right.
Fat.
I've been failing every night.
So,
I've been drinking beer instead.
Fat.
I've been eating in my bed.
So,
eating in my bed.
Fat. So,
oh, yeah. Oh.
Fat.
All my meals are soaked in grease.
So,
that will block my arteries.
Fat.
Pork rinds are what I want.
So,
deep fried butter to make me strong.
Fat.
Then I'll hit the balls.
So, I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged
heart. So, are you gonna finish that?
Fat.
Are those hash browns fried in fat?
So,
thick bacon's all I need.
Fat.
A quarter pounder wrapped in cheese.
So,
extra mayo is what I please.
Fat.
Could you put the chili cheese fries on the bun?
So,
it's gonna give me heart disease.
Fat.
Fantastic.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
That's so good.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
Can I get that with three sides of mac and cheese, please?
And soon I'll be 900 pounds. I will.
Oh no! Oh no! I think I'm having a heart attack. Quick, somebody get the defibrillator. Clear!
You were 58 pounds overweight when you came down here, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
You were a fat slob. You looked like the great white whale, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
You're going to lose every ounce of that 58 pounds, you hear?
Yes, sir.
Every day at chow, you will show me your tray.
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to eat no bread, no corn, no pie, cake, desserts of any kind, no whole milk, no beans, no butter, no sugar, no potatoes, candy, ice cream, salad dressings, or peanut butter.
Yes, sir.
You came here with nothing but fat. You're going to leave here with nothing but muscle.
About a half hour from now, Steve Farrell will tell us about the incredible Burt Wonderstorm, which looks great.
Oh, Burt Wonderstorm. I can't wait to see that movie.
Burt Wonderstone. What's going on, Roland?
What's going on? Is it, once again, you're shirking your duty and abusing the public airwaves.
Can't you go through Dave, the King of Mexico, like everybody else has to get on the show?
Why should I do that when I can just hack into your communication system and just get on the air and do what you're not doing, which is serve the public?
All right, Roland, how are we not serving the public? What am I missing?
You're not talking about WonderCon.
We've been giving away tickets. It's not till the end of the month.
Yeah. Occasionally you'll give away some tickets with a brief mention. You should be talking about it all day long. WonderCon.
Roland, what would we say all day long about WonderCon?
You would say WonderCon is like spring training for geeks.
Right.
It's like when the pitchers and catchers show up.
Right.
And then we get this all ready for Comic-Con down in San Diego. But you can't go to Comic-Con San Diego until you've had your warm-up con, which is WonderCon!
You might be a little excited. It is only the 13th of March.
And March 29th is when WonderCon starts at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Right, got it.
I don't think you do got it.
I have. I mean, I understand.
You'll be talking about the fact that it's going to be amazing, and all kinds of new merchandise will be available, and Jim Steranko will be there.
I don't,
No, we don't.
I don't know who that is.
Legendary Jim Steranko!
Who's James Steranko?
Jim Steranko!
Who's Jim? Who cares? Who is it?
I care. One of the greatest cover artists in the history of 60s Marvel Comics.
Okay.
Who can forget his psychedelic turns with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain America and Incredible Hulk? Doctor Strange.
I'm not really familiar with any of that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because now there's a chance for you to finally learn something about anything.
Look, if I'm going to start learning something about anything, as you say, it's not going to be WonderCon.
Marvel Comics has announced they're releasing 700 number one issues digitally.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah!
Okay, take it easy, Roland.
So you can see some of the great 60s Silver Age titles for the first time ever. You know how hard it is to find a number one Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man?
I don't, but I'm going to guess very.
Where do I find that beautiful, beautiful issue by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko? Where do I find that? How can I read that without spending thousands of dollars? Well, you just go online now and you can digitally download it!
that's cool.
Yes!
Have you downloaded all 700?
Yes!
Wow.
And I've been reading them nonstop for the past 4 days.
Wow.
Have you slept?
Nothing but 5-hour energy and Red Bull cocktails.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah. You should probably take a little break from
Fantastic
that.
Fantastic Four!
Maybe have a nap.
Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's number one Fantastic Four. Oh, my God. It's so wonderful.
Now, Roland, is this going to put comic book stores and Kevin Smith completely out of business?
No, because what you'll do is you will read these impossible-to-find issues, and you'll get sucked up by the stories and the wonderment of comic books.
I see.
And then you'll get so turned on by them, you'll go to your local comic book store and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars like I do each and every month.
Where do you get your money from, Roland?
Well, there was a lawsuit once.
Right.
Manufacturers of a prop lightsaber did not specify in the instructions that it was not for insertion in certain orifices.
What?
They did not warn that on the label.
They shouldn't have to.
Well, I think they should, because you'd be surprised what happens when you do that. You can end up cauterizing your colon. Which is what happened to me, and I promptly sued them, and I made a significant windfall that I have invested wisely.
And by invested wisely, you mean you're buying comic books?
Yes!
That explains
WonderCon!
All right, Roland, we got to go, but I'm glad you're excited.
So, you want to read 700 comic books with me?
No, that's the last thing I want to do.
You want to go to WonderCon with me?
I'll meet you there, over by the other side, on the back, over there.
Those improv classes are really paying off.
Not really. Oh, the love around here is just beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful.
You people.
Warms my heart.
You people with your all being you.
10 minutes till 7. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman, then Steve Carell.
I heard you talking to your friend Roland about WonderCon coming up.
I wasn't talking to him as much as he was yelling at me.
Well, I think he feels passionately about
the
world of comic books and gaming and science fiction and fantasy and anime. And I think he just wanted to get the word out about WonderCon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is happening March 29th through the 31st at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Are you giving away tickets now to stay on his good side?
I was... Let's say he fired a shot across my bow.
Weak.
Saying that if I did not give away some tickets to WonderCon, there may be retribution coming my way. So
wow.
I would like to avoid that. And so what I'd like to do is give away some 3-day passes to the 26th annual WonderCon happening at the Anaheim Convention Center. The March 29th through the 31st, if you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? It's just everything good in one place. I got a pair of 3-day passes that will go to two different people. So I've got two winners right now. 1-800-520-1067. First callers who get through will get a pair of 3-day passes to enjoy all of the wonder that is WonderCon.
Bitchin'!
It's going to be a good time. And as Roland mentioned, it is sort of a good warm-up for... Comic-Con down in San Diego, the granddaddy of them all, but this is like the little brother.
When's Comic-Con? Is that mid-July?
July?
Yeah. Okay.
Coming up again. I'll be down there, and I know you and Bean will be there, because I know what huge Comic-Con goers and fans that you
are. We had been flying that flag for a long time, and Ralph was mocking us.
You've always been insisting, we should go down there, we should broadcast live from there, and then, I finally said, okay.
Ralph jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, jumped in your bandwagon. Had to jump on something. This is fascinating to me. For all our lives, we thought we knew who Michael Jackson's kids were. It turns out we were wrong.
What? We don't?
Well, can you name his three kids?
Paris.
Right.
And Blanket.
Blanket is his 11-year-old son. Paris is his 14-year-old daughter.
And the other one?
Prince.
Prince Michael, 16. That's right.
They're not his kids?
Well, they are, but those aren't their names.
Really? Yeah. What?
That's what he always referred to them as, but that's not what Michael legally named them.
Is that right?
Fascinating story was published today, filling in the blanks. But here, his firstborn, Prince Michael, his actual name is Michael Joseph Jackson Jr.
A normal name.
Michael Joseph Jackson Jr.
And Joseph is his dad?
His evil dad.
I believe that's Michael's middle name, too, is Joseph. Huh. That's why he's Jr.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Paris's name, her legal name, is Paris Michael Catherine Jackson. Hyphenated. Paris-Michael. Paris Michael Catherine Jackson. So the eldest is Michael Jackson Jr. Paris Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And Blanket.
Blanket Michael?
No. Prince Michael Jackson the second.
What? He couldn't think of anything else, so we went Prince again?
Prince Michael's name isn't really Prince Michael.
Oh,
he calls
him
Prince.
Okay.
His nickname is Prince, and his name is Michael. But Blanket's name is Prince Michael.
If I were Blanket, I would demand my name back right now.
Well, Prince
would
is using it.
Would you rather be Prince than...
His older brother's using
it
right now.
But screw you. That's my name. I don't want to be Blanket anymore.
Prince Michael Jackson the second. So, Michael... Paris Michael, Prince Michael are all the kids.
Is Michael obsessed with Michael much?
I think Michael likes Michael.
What if your name was Asshole?
That more creative.
A better name. I thought that was interesting. Huh. While we're talking about kids, you know who the Duggars are? They're on that...
Yes, they have 1,000 children.
The TLC show, 19 kids and counting.
Oh, yeah.
TMZ reports that they were in New York this week. And you know how much it takes... For the entire family to go out to a burger joint to eat lunch.
God.
I can't imagine.
They went to a place called Bill's Bar and Burger in Manhattan, a very popular boutique fast food place. You know, give you an idea, the burgers start there around $8. So it's like, you know, in New York,
then
everything's
expensive.
You
got fries and drink. And...
You know, a shake will run you around $6 or so.
$2.50.
So let's say they roll out the entire Duggar family.
They're hardcore drinkers, too, so you got to add the wine.
No, they're not. Huh? No, they're holy rollers, so they don't drink. So it's just burgers and shakes and fries and stuff. What do you think the bill came to for 23 people, 23 Duggars? The whole family was there eating at the Bill's Burger.
I'm going to double Lisa's and go $500.
You're closer. $1,614.
$614
was the final tab.
Insane.
That's for lunch.
Wow. They must not go out much.
I can't imagine they do. I think they grow their own food on the Duggar farm or whatever it is.
Thank God they have a TV show.
In the compound. That's how they must survive, right?
Can you imagine the waiters and waitresses? You take them. I don't want to take them. You take them. I took them last time.
It's like a convention.
Add that 18%.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Wow.
And Tadoff Switler, spawn of Satan, once again shows her true colors. Great story out of Nashville this week. If you've ever written a fan letter to Taylor Swift and you never got a reply, well, maybe here's why. Nashville's News 2 in Nashville found out that there were hundreds of unopened fan letters to Taylor Swift that were found in a recycling dumpster behind an elementary school.
That's nice. Not just not open, but thrown away.
Apparently, there is a strip mall there in Nashville near that dumpster where Taylor has a post office box where all her fan mail goes to. And someone from her staff apparently has just took a bunch of fan letters and just chucked them right in the recycle bin.
Bitch got no class.
At the very least, she could hire somebody to go through them.
Well, her staff claims that all of her fan mail is opened and read.
Right.
By someone.
Well, they think here, this must have been just an accident. Where they put
an accident.
They put a batch of unopened letters by mistake in the recycle pile.
Sure.
Because they recycle all the fan mail after they read it.
And respond.
But this stuff might have just been misplaced, and so that's why it ended up unopened in the recycling bin. A messenger from Taylor's camp was sent over to the TV station to pick up all the mail immediately because they said, oh, we're going to correct this problem. We had no idea that fan letters were just being tossed out unread.
You liar!
Said the daughter of Satan.
And then they took that batch and threw them away at another store
that's
a long
right.
ways away.
First they pooped on them, and then they threw them away. They hate you. They hate you if you're a Taylor Swift fan. And sad news. Adrian Maloof of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Sean Stewart, Rod Stewart's son, they've split up after 2 months of bliss.
Well, they gave it a good run.
They did.
Two months.
They were a hot tabloid item because there was a huge age difference between the two. She is 19 years older than Sean, and they started up this relationship, and a lot of people were talking crap about them. But
a lot of people were right.
Looks like it's all over. They're going to remain friends, though.
Sure, they're celebrities.
Because they,
sort of.
They're very close to each other, and they love each other very much. I mentioned last hour that Lady Gaga is rolling around New York City, could be seen this week photographed in her 24-karat gold wheelchair.
Yep.
Friends, however, are concerned about Gaga because they say she is so depressed about her tour being canceled and the surgery on her hip that she has been drinking excessively as well as taking the painkillers that were given to her by doctors after she had her surgery.
That's pretty much the one warning that they put on those bottles.
But it's a suggestion, really.
It's not really a suggestion.
They're not saying you should absolutely not drink while you take painkillers.
It says could cause drowsiness.
Right.
Do not mix with alcohol.
Yeah, but that's like because it'll be too fun. That's why they say it.
The fun police?
They're trying to be a buzzkill. Don't mix alcohol because you might have too much fun. That's the only suggestion, right?
That's great. It's Lady Gaga, so I don't care. But Dr. Drew does say that can end a life quicker than anyone realizes.
But
a lot of these ODs happen because of that.
Yeah. It doesn't end your life if you have a 24-karat gold wheelchair.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
That's how you counteract
it. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. And Will Smith's son, Jaden, is in the news. At the age of 14, he is quite the player.
Great.
According to the tabloids, he was initially seeing Kendall Jenner. This is Kris Kardashian's half-sister.
Right.
She is a part of that duo of kids that Kris Jenner had.
Not that, like, 16
with Bruce Jenner. Kendall is 17.
Okay.
Her sister Kylie is 15. And apparently Kendall thought the age difference between the two of them, Jaden being 14 and her being 17, was too much. And so he moved on to the 15-year-old sister Kylie, is now seeing her.
I'll take any of them.
Who do you think orchestrated the relationships between Jaden Smith and Kylie and Kendall Jenner?
Their mom.
Where it is, Kris Jenner, manager and mom to Kendall and Kylie, wanted a power couple to come out of Will Smith's family and their family to create a show.
Sure, he has Kim and Kanye.
Power couple. So, but if you can get Will Smith's kid and one of your younger kids together, come on.
Bitch got no class.
Cha-ching.
It's insane.
Will and Jada apparently are concerned about the couple. They don't want them moving too quickly, so they're chaperoning the two on every single date. So when Kylie and Jaden go out, Will and Jada are right there by their sides.
Stop it.
By the way, talking about family, parents with narcissistic tendencies naming their kids, Jaden and Jada,
yeah,
and Willow and Will.
Yeah.
Why don't you just clone yourselves, and then you can just have sex with yourself and not worry about having kids. Ugh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emil Hirsch. Great actor. Singing Into the Wild. He was great. Man.
Oh, loved it.
He was great in Milk, too, if you've ever seen that film. Terrific turn by Emil Hirsch. You ever see Speed Racer?
No.
Based on the legendary cartoon series Speed Racer?
No, that looked terrible.
Awesome.
That looked terrible.
It was awesome.
There's no way that was awesome.
All right. It wasn't awesome, but it was interesting to look at.
Unless Roland's listening, in which case it was awesome.
28 years old today. Danny Masterson from That 70 Show turns 37. I don't know how this name got into the celebrity birthday list. Clippers forward Caron Butler.
Oh, let's see. Who puts that together?
How did that get on here? David King of Mexico.
Dev.
Oh. Karen Butler. He is 33. Common, rapper and actor, is 41 years old today. Actress Annabeth Gish. She was on The X-Files in a show called Brotherhood, 42 years old. Adam Clayton of U2 is 53 years old. Dana Delaney currently can be seen in Body of Proof over there on ABC. She's 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's what she said.
Maybe I'll build a boat.
Did you say build a boat?
Be great in case it floods or something.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go with the pig face.
Why did you want to kill yourself?
I fell in love with someone who didn't love me back. I was very much in love with him.
You fell in love with the boy?
Yes, I did. Very much so.
That's silly.
This is the best day of my life!
Max, you didn't push the button hard enough.
So you could hear me?
Yes.
Right.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Brick, are you saying that there's a party in your pants and that I'm invited?
That's it.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson!
Does the cheese come out of the cow with the holes?
It was very nice of her to ask us to have sex.
Steve Perreault was 36. Oh, wait, that's just an intro. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
Was that all from one movie?
Oh, no, that was a retrospective of your entire career.
No, that sounds like it's from one just fantastic movie.
Okay, let's say it was then. Steve, I can't wait for this movie because we've been making fun of these ridiculous magicians, in quotes, for quite some time. You know, your David Blaines and your Chris Angels. They're absurd. They're just absurd.
They're
aching for
a spoof.
And I don't know how you parody them because they're so out there already.
It's true. You know, the whole world of Vegas is so out there. We thought, oh, these costumes, these wigs, this is going to be just, we're going to be heightening the reality. But then when we were shooting in Vegas, I'd walk around and I blended right in my surroundings.
You had the whole hair thing going and all your clothing?
Oh, yeah, the tan that makes me look like a carrot.
And it's nobody just, gave you a second look?
Nobody gave me a second look.
Wow.
I was exactly like everybody else.
Now, I know a lot of people have probably asked you if you studied magic to play this role, but it doesn't look like in the movie you're much interested in magic.
I am such an aficionado.
Yes.
I will now be doing kids' parties as a sideline.
What's your best trick for real? It's probably a coin trick, right? I mean, you didn't learn any of the big stuff.
No, I didn't learn any of the big stuff.
Okay.
No.
Not even a coin trick?
Yeah, there's like a card trick that I do that's kind of cool, where you have the card and then you flick it behind. Makes it look like you're palming it, and then you're flicking it around. That took a little bit of practice to get right.
It sounds like it was worth the effort.
Oh, yeah. I'm fantastic.
Tell me about working with Steve Buscemi. That guy I love in everything he does.
He is good in everything he does. He's never not good, and he is funny as hell. He's one of those guys who can do anything.
Now, he's kind of your best friend in the movie, right? And then you end up taking on Jim Carrey?
Yeah, we're childhood friends, and then we have a falling out because my character just becomes a big blowhard and narcissist, and so we break up as an act, and Jim Carrey is sort of this rival magician who is stealing our thunder, and he becomes our nemesis.
You couldn't have picked it. That's just inspired casting, because most of these magicians, I don't know how many shows you've seen, but most of them spend 99% making funny faces and posing.
Yeah.
And it's very little time doing magic.
Oh, it's all in the presentation. He is dead on. And he's really, again, he's not that far off from what these guys are really like.
Yeah. Now, have you heard from the Chris Angel or the David Blaines of the world?
I have not, but I have heard back from a number of people in the magic community, as it were.
I'm sorry, let me just butt in there. Is there a magic community?
A magic community, sure. people seem to be really liking it because it's, you know, it's a very good-humored ribbing of that, you know, of that world.
Does anyone in the movie get eaten by a tiger?
No, there's one character that gets mauled a little bit.
Okay.
But nobody gets eaten.
Can you get mauled a little
just
bit?
Just a touch.
Yeah, just munched on a tiny bit.
Tell me about working with Alan Arkin. He seems fantastic, too.
He's my idol.
Is he?
You know, it's the third time I've gotten to work with him, and I could not love anybody more than him. He's funny, and he's so wry, and again, he's just such a great actor. Very inspiring to be with.
He's one of those guys that seems like he's being funny without trying. He almost seems like he's trying to not be funny, and yet he can't help it.
Yeah, it's exactly right. He can do the littlest thing and bring down the house.
Well, this looks fantastic. I do have to bring up Anchorman 2, though, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I do have to bring that up because the word got out that Harrison Ford was going to be in it. Now, have you already shot that?
No, I have not shot anything. I start shooting on Monday.
Oh, this coming Monday. All right.
This coming Monday, yeah.
Now, Harrison Ford.
They started about a week and a half ago, and I'm joining them on Monday.
How does that strike you, the Harrison Ford casting? I know he'll probably be a straight man, right? Probably a news guy.
I am not at liberty to say.
Oh, no. Steve, you're a hard nut to crack.
I know. It's going to be great. It's the script is excellent, really, really funny, and it is a perfect evolution of the first movie.
It's got to be a little daunting after the success of the first movie, which has become pretty much a cult classic.
You know what? I have to say it's not, in the sense that the vibe is the same, and we just want to go and have fun and be silly and enjoy each other, because that's what we did the first time. So I think if we start to get too precious about it, then it's going to lose whatever that first one had.
Right. The incredible Burt Wonderstone is the movie we're talking about. We have Steve Carell on the phone. I do have a clip. Is Brad Garrett in this movie?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. He plays my business manager.
I was going to say, it sounds like him, and he's talking to you about perhaps saving some money for a rainy day.
You put away almost nothing.
What are all these words? This is gobbledygook. What about all my investments?
Here you go. There's your imported Mexican spring water, agua de leche.
That was a very classy product.
It's Mexican water, Bert. You were selling the promise of diarrhea for $3 a bottle. And how about all the millions you put into that harebrained theme restaurant?
James Cameron's Titanic Cafe was a great idea. Our only mistakes were, A, made the floor too slanty, food kept sliding off the plates, and B, did not get James Cameron's permission.
It just sounds great, Steve. It's always good to catch up with you. Thanks for spending the time with us.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. Thanks.
And the incredible Burt Wonderstone opens everywhere on Friday. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2013 is Saturday, April 6th. Gibson Amphitheater. Jay Moore will be there. He will be doing battle with Brad Williams.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
Mano y mano.
Yep.
Bill Burr will be there, one of the best comedians in the world. Doug Benson, we talked to yesterday on the program. Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir. And all the proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project in Cedars-Sinai NICU. So thanks to everybody who bought tickets for that. Right now we're going to do Make Us Laugh. And there's a reason why we don't have people tell us jokes very often, because A, most jokes aren't funny. And B, even funny jokes can be ruined with a bad delivery.
And most people are bad.
Most people are bad at telling jokes. But we thought we'd give it a try. Maybe somebody would stand out of the group.
Okay.
If you tell us the full joke and make us
laugh. Make us laugh. Make us laugh. Tell a joke about a giraffe. Or something else that rhymes with laugh. Make us laugh. Make us laugh. Make us laugh. Make us laugh. Come on and try to make us laugh right now.
Oh, how does Omar come up with giraffe and not ass, for God's sakes?
That's a good question.
Omar, of all people. All right, make us laugh. Let's start with Carl. Hi, Carl.
Hi.
Make us laugh, dude.
A guy walks into psychiatrist's office wearing nothing but saran wrap. Psychiatrist says, clearly, I can see your nuts.
Okay.
All right, clearly I can see your nuts. Hold on. Let's go to Ruben. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's your joke?
How do you circumcise a redneck?
I give up.
Kick his sister in the chin.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That is a terribly offensive joke. How dare you, sir? Jesse, hello.
Hi.
Make us laugh.
What do you call a Mexican plane in sand?
What do you call a Mexican?
A churro.
Good delivery. Good timing. Hold on. Let's go to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. What up, Lisa May?
Hi, Michael.
Make us laugh.
What's blonde, brunette, blonde, brunette, blonde, brunette, blonde?
I don't know.
Don't know.
A cheerleader doing cartwheels.
Oh, okay.
Not bad. All right.
Took me a beat.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's go to Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Morning. What kind of scissors are used to cut pizza?
What kind of scissors are used to cut pizza?
What?
Little scissors.
I can guarantee you're not going to win, but I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Brian and Lisa.
Hi, Brian.
Why did the sperm cross the road?
I give up.
I put the wrong sock on. That's a killer joke. That's a killer joke.
That's pretty good. Thank you. Let's go to Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hey, what up, guys?
Make us laugh.
All right. Why did Smokey the Bear never have kids?
Why did he never have kids? Give up.
Because every time his wife got hot, he stomped her out.
Aha. Okay.
That was an aha joke. Not the best reaction. All right. Let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Why was the suicide bomber mad when he met a 72 virgins?
Why?
I don't know.
Because he had blown off his penis.
That's another hmm.
All right.
Okay.
You hold on. All right. To me, it seems like we're down to two.
I think as well.
Certainly.
Ruben,
yes.
Yeah, he's the one with kick the sister in the chin.
Yes.
I liked his delivery.
I did too. And then there was, why did the sperm cross the road?
That was Brian.
That was pretty good too.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Which do you like the best?
I like Ruben better.
We have to pick one. Ruben?
Yeah.
All right. Ruben, congratulations.
Hey, thank you guys very much.
Nicely done. Yep. Thanks for playing Make Us Laugh. 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 On the way, we have the worst place you fell asleep. I don't know if you saw the story about Lamar Odom. Spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
Lamar Odom was in court for a child custody hearing and dozed.
That is not a way to get your kids back. What could be, I mean, what would be more important? What would he stay awake for?
I think nothing.
Yeah.
I think Lamar Odom at that point is going to sleep no matter what's happening.
That's just sad.
Yeah, a child custody case seems bad. And Dave the King of Mexico, who fell asleep when he drove, and everywhere he went, he would fall asleep. So he's got plenty of those stories as well. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Dana White talking UFC 158. Yesterday, I ended up going to the DMV.
Gee, big surprise. They've been wanting you for a while.
I had to take the written test again to renew my license.
Is that because you're such a bad driver?
First of all, I'm the best driver in Southern California.
Is that because they think you're such a bad driver?
Second of all, I have received a ticket or two in my last few weeks, and that's why they brought me in to take the written test.
They want to see if you're okay.
So I went in yesterday. Yeah, what's wrong with this guy? So I went in yesterday, and I stood there, and I asked the dude how many questions are on the test.
Mm-hmm.
And he said 18.
Now, I assume we've all taken the test.
Right.
I studied for it. Did you
the
book?
I didn't study so much. What I did was I went online and they have sample questions.
Okay.
So there was a site that had seven sample questions and I took them and I aced them.
Seven.
And I aced them.
And that was it?
Seven out of seven.
That was the extent of your study?
Like, that's it. I'm on it.
Oh,
this is not going to be a problem. The DMV is my bitch.
Okay.
So I went down to the DMV and the guy says 18 questions and I say, how many can I miss and still pass? Because really that's all that matters. And he says three. You can miss three. I was like, three? You know, I would think I would get like five. You could only miss three.
Yeah. They kind of want you to study.
So I go in the back room and I take the test and I'm paying very close attention. That's mostly my problem is that I don't pay attention ever.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to answer it. Then I'm going to look at it again and make sure I have the right answer.
Focus.
Right. And I was positive I got 100%. I mean, I was practically waiting for them to put a crown on my head. And I had to wait before this other girl, and she got 100%.
Oh.
And I was like,
all right.
This test is easy. It's ridiculous.
Everyone's getting 100%.
So I handed her the test, and she went through it and the first time and didn't make any marks. And I was like, just put 100%. Biatch. Let's get this over with. And then she marked one off. She was going back through to check them again.
And again, you can only get three
wrong. And still pass.
Okay.
And then she marked two off.
Oh, dear.
And then she marked the third off. And she wasn't done yet.
Kevin.
Right. So
God almighty,
so
Kevin.
I'm like, oh, come
this
on.
This is a gimme.
But they write them really confusing.
Jeez,
they write them very confusing.
Not if you study.
Like, for example, one of the questions that I missed was if somebody takes a step into the crosswalk and then takes a step back, what are you supposed to do? Should you wait for them?
I bet it was in the book.
Or go ahead and just go through. And I put wait. I figured it was always the safest. But the problem with the DMV test is a lot of times there's two answers that could be right. You know, if you're going to turn right, you need to keep an eye out for motorcycles because A, they're hard to see sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's true.
That is true.
B, they get a whole lane. You know what? Also true. So what do you put?
So you don't get all of the above?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they try and trick you.
So this one, you put wait, and it wasn't.
I don't know. She said, you missed three. Do you want to look at the ones that you got wrong? And I said, nope, I passed, right? And she said, yes, you passed.
You passed?
Yeah, I passed. I only missed three out of 18.
I lost so a now, bet. I'm sorry,
so
Dave.
So now I am back in good standing. Dave has a note here that the DMV, there's a DMV employee on the line.
Oh, boys, they're listening. Of course they're listening.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Arnold Clark from the California DMV.
You've been listening to this?
Are you calling to congratulate me on passing the test and making you my bitch?
No, sir. We're listening here in the office, and we just wanted to call to correct some circumstances that you've perhaps misstated.
Were there more questions than I thought?
No, the no. Your grade was not what you're telling people it is.
I missed three.
Are you lying to us, Kevin?
I missed three. That's passing.
You missed nine. You missed nine out of 18.
That sounds more like it. That sounds about right. And now I've won my bet.
Frankly, your test results, sir, have become the stuff of legend here at the DMV.
Is that right?
So when you brought it up, we all knew exactly what you were talking about. And we've been passing your test around for some time now since you took it.
Kevin, why would you come on the air and lie about it?
That's we'd like to know.
I missed three.
Well, let's go through the ones you missed.
I'd rather not. We're kind of short on time.
I want to hear.
These are just some of the questions. I got about nine here that you missed.
We have to get to the showbiz beat here
first
in a minute.
First and foremost, it's important to let you know, Mr. Ryder, that the DMV test is, in fact, a multiple choice test.
Okay.
So, the fact that you wrote in the predominance of your answers really does not help your circumstances at all.
Well, I thought I could clarify.
The first question, you may drive off the paved roadway to pass another vehicle.
Right.
Well, choices were if the shoulder is wide enough to accommodate your vehicle, if the vehicle ahead of you is turning left, under no circumstances.
Okay.
The correct answer would be under no circumstances can you drive off the paved roadway.
That's not what I put?
You wrote, you may drive off the paved roadway to pass another vehicle on your way to work or the movies. wrote.
Well, I know for a fact he's done that.
You wrote that in, sir.
Well, I was just trying to be more specific.
By the way, just one V in movies.
Oh, okay.
If you're approaching a railroad crossing with no warning devices and are unable to see 400 feet down the tracks in one direction, the speed limit is, you wrote in, caused by the floor stopping the pedal. Number three, when parking your vehicle parallel to the curb on a level street.
Yes.
The choices were your front wheels must be turned toward the street, your wheels must be within 18 inches of the curb, one of your rear wheels must touch the curb. The correct answer is your wheels must be within 18 inches of the curb. You wrote, when parking your vehicle parallel to the curb on a level street, you wrote, you want me to park my own car? Where's the effing valet?
That was clearly a joke, though.
When you are merging onto a freeway, you should be driving. The correct answer was at or at least the same speed as the traffic on the freeway.
Right.
You wrote, when merging onto a freeway, you must be driving a late model luxury sedan.
What?
When driving in fog, you should use your A, fog lights only, B, high beams, C, low beams. The answer is correct. Low beams would be the correct answer.
Right.
You wrote, when driving in fog, you should use your hands and feet, you wrote in.
That doesn't even make sense.
Just trying to bring up, just trying to enlighten the people there at the DMV with a little humor.
A white painted curb means a loading zone for freight or passengers. Loading zone for passengers or mail only. Loading zone for freight only. You read, a white painted curb means they wanted the curb to look like snow.
Did you mark off for that one?
Seven, a school bus ahead of you is in your lane, stopped with red lights flashing. You should. The correct answer is stop as long as the red lights are flashing on the bus. You wrote, a school bus ahead of you and your lane is stopped with red lights flashing. You should speed past it yelling, school is for suckers. California's basic speed law says,
I think we probably heard enough.
You should never drive faster than the posted speed limits. You should never drive faster than is safe for current conditions. You wrote, California's basic speed law is felony possession of less than 1 gram of speed gets you up to 5 years for the first offense.
Is that true or not?
It is, but that's not the speed we're talking about. And lastly, to avoid last-minute moves, you should be looking down the road to where your vehicle will be in about 5 to 10 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds, 15 to 20 seconds. You wrote, to avoid last-minute moves, you should be looking down the road to where your vehicle will be in about 1709 military time. We don't even know what that means, sir.
In the next hour, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We're also going to talk to Dana White about the UFC 158, which is this weekend. Looks like a great fight. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I should call this segment The Naked and the Famous. That's all I really ever talk about.
That's true.
I should just steal their name. I should sue them.
I don't think you can sue after they already have the name.
That's a good point. Speaking of naked and famous, Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian is in the news. Star Magazine reporting is that she's very depressed.
About her blood facial?
No, her blood facial was the least of her problems. Mm. First of all, I would be depressed because I come from that family, if I were her. But she's depressed apparently because she's already put on 65 pounds in the first 5 months of her pregnancy.
That's a little much.
That is, that's abusing the privilege, as they say.
It's funny because didn't you do a story I don't know, this week or last week, about her putting pictures of her in a bikini on the fridge. And
yeah, she's wigging out about her weight gain.
Trying to keep it down. But I didn't realize it was because it was so much.
Sometimes when you wig out, you start to obsess about it, and then you start thinking about food all the time.
Yes, Lisa has hit the nail on the head, because the story is she is freaking out over her body changes so much she's binge eating for comfort.
That happens.
So she's working out with 19 trainers, she's coming home, and then just beer mugging.
Is that called the new word?
It's called in the diet industry. Yeah, she's just beer mugging.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Tilt.
And that's making her depressed, and so she's beer mugging, so she gets over her depression, and then she goes, works out, then she looks in the mirror, doesn't like what she sees, or she beer mugs. The next thing you know, 65 pounds are hung on that 5'3" frame or whatever she's rocking there.
You're fat.
That's what her mom tells her, too.
I take a certain amount of glee in all of this. I couldn't be happier with a family that's so image-obsessed. For her just to be out of control of her own body makes me laugh.
She's still 100 pounds short of Chloe, though, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Chloe can still bench press her. Lady Gaga is also depressed. A lot of depressed celebrities in today's showbiz. She's depressed because her tour had to be canceled because of the surgery on her hip, which has made her immobile. And so friends say she's been taking the dangerous combination of booze and painkillers. But she should feel better about herself because she is tooling around New York City, if you've seen the photos this week, in her very own custom-designed 24-carat gold wheelchair. It was specifically commissioned by a designer named Ken Borachov, and he said to her, he calls it the chariot because it's a chair fit only for a queen.
Wow.
It is upholstered in tufted calves leather, kind of leather they use in classic motorcycle jackets, custom-made seat and armrests, and the wheels and all the hardware of the wheelchair are plated in 24-karat gold. She's going to get wheelchair jacked.
She really is.
Right.
Tooling around in a ride like that. She's going to be just rolling up to a stoplight. Another guy's going to come up in a wheelchair next to her and pull out a gun and say, "Give me the chair!" Push her out. He gets in it.
Is Larry Flint upset?
I think Larry has a gold wheelchair, too,
he
actually.
Yeah. He's had it for 15 years.
Well, he seriously needs it.
Agreed.
She's going to be off her hip for about 5 months. Then what happens? Then what happens to the gold wheelchair? She should just give it to, like, an old homeless dude outside of 7-Eleven. That'd be awesome.
But then he would never get a penny from anyone if he's sitting in a gold wheelchair.
Well, they could sell the wheelchair. He wouldn't need pennies from anybody. I mean, just roll around with all the money in his cash.
Huh?
Roll around like rolling, like a person rolling.
Oh, I see, rolling.
Sean Lowe, The Bachelor. He's America's sweetheart. ABC got huge numbers with their Bachelor finale. Almost 9 million viewers for that final episode.
Ralph's been talking about The Bachelor quite a bit for the last couple of days.
You know, it's not just Ralph if 9 million people are tuning in, Kevin. That is a sizable hit.
But I mean a lot.
Anyway, he is currently signed up to join the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
I just don't care at all.
He looks good. Looks good with his shirt off. I hope he takes his shirt off a lot.
Are you going
to
watch?
I know you guys didn't watch the show, but it was started to be funny because every episode would start off with him in the shower.
Oh, is that right?
Every episode. And then about mid-episode, they would show him shirtless working out on the Bowflex or whatever. I mean, they tried to get him shirtless as often as possible on that show.
And that made you happy.
It was like watching a Matthew McConaughey movie. That's how shirtless he was. So ABC hedging their bets by adding him to the cast of Dancing with the Stars. I got to say, it's smart programming because people seem to dig him. Justin Bieber, sad today. His pet hamster, Pack, has passed away.
Asshole.
Pack was 2.5 years old. He will be missed. He gave Pack away last December, so he can't be too upset. There was a screaming fan outside his performance at a Atlanta, Georgia radio show, and Victoria Blair was screaming outside the venue. He came out carrying Pack in a little cage and gave Pack to her, which made Bieber fans very upset. Because first of all, what did she do to deserve Pack? I'm a bigger fan than she is. And it also made the Hamster Society of America very upset. Because they said, you just can't take a hamster and then move him from one home to another. That it upsets their nervous system.
It's a hamster, though, right?
That's my
Well, yeah,
point.
But if it's a pet, you don't just give it
away.
Oh,
here we go. Oh, here we go.
I've had hamsters.
Don't you defend Bieber.
Well,
don't
I'm,
you do
I'm
it.
I'm not defending
that,
Bieber.
Don't you do it.
The hamster lobbyists, either.
I'm defending right.
They're freaking hamsters. They're one step away from rats.
Well, clearly, I've
and
had
you
pet
just,
rats,
you put
too.
It in a cage, and then you put it... The cage is the same, whether it's at this house or that house.
But if
they don't
you,
have a nervous breakdown.
No, I'm just saying, if you cared about it, why would you just give it randomly away?
You know
why? You don't care.
Because it's a hamster.
You don't
Who
care
cares?
About it.
It's a hamster.
Kevin said it. Bieber is a...
This you sound like an unbelievable douche.
Animals.
This is the pet. The hamster's the pet they give to kids that know will kill a pet. This is like
true.
A starter pet. You
that's
give,
true.
Give them goldfish and hamsters because you know they'll probably kill them and it doesn't matter.
And that's all right. Because there's plenty more where that came
that's
from.
That's right. Ugh.
Said Ralph Garman.
Now you're defending Bieber. Do you see what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to have to go with Lisa now.
Pack passed away from old age, according to Victoria.
So. At 2 years old?
Yeah, well, they only lived two or three. See, they're not, they're barely animals. They're really just sort of chia pets that move. Hamsters. Today's celebrity birthdays, Emil Hirsch, very talented actor. He is 28 years old today. Danny Masterson from That 70s Show is 37. Common celebrates his 41st birthday. Adam Clayton, bassist for U2, is 53. And actress Dana Delaney. She was on that China Beach. Did you watch that China Beach and all?
Yes.
Show about the nurses in Vietnam. Great, great show.
I never saw that.
And she, of course, was the female lead in Tombstone, one of my favorite westerns of all time. And currently can be seen on Body of Proof on ABC. She is 57 years old today. She's a damn good-looking 57, too, by the way. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up a little bit later on this hour, Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And then Dana White talking about UFC 158, GSP versus Nick Diaz. Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined me in studio. He's got 1,000 stories on this topic. We're going to take your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. The worst place that you fell asleep. You just couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's considered bad form. Lamar Odom is where this comes from. Reality star and Los Angeles Clipper forward Lamar Odom was in court at his ongoing child custody case.
Yeah, hey, don't fall asleep in court ever.
He is trying to get control of his 14-year-old daughter, Destiny, and his 11-year-old son, Lamar Jr. He's in court. They're having a hearing. They look over at him and they say, bailiff, please check Lamar and make sure he's okay. Bailiff walks over, checks Lamar. He wakes up. Judge says, sit up, sir. And he does, and then he puts his head back down in his hands and falls asleep.
Oh, my God.
Lamar fell asleep during his own child custody case.
All that damn candy he eats.
Well, those are boring.
But it's his own.
He has a real stake in this.
Have you been alone?
He's not just sitting in court watching somebody else's trial. It's actually for his own children.
Dave, how many child custody cases have you been to exactly?
None. He's been to none. Dave falls asleep. How many times would you say you've fallen asleep while driving?
Well, I used to. I would say at least over 20 times.
Oh, my God.
Fell asleep driving 20
That's
times.
Amazing. You didn't get in an accident.
Oh, I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. I totaled 2 cars, I think.
And now you don't anymore?
I don't anymore. I don't know what happened, but I just don't do it anymore.
You didn't do anything to stop
falling
asleep?
No, not at all. It just stopped happening.
The less appropriate, the funnier. You fall asleep in church, you fall asleep at a wedding, you fall asleep at a funeral. You know, there are certain times when you should probably just stay awake.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Dave has a lot of other stories.
Yeah, I think my two most memorable stories are me and Bean went to see Kiss. And, you know, they're a loud band and they have a lot of pyrotechnics.
Yeah, they have explosions and fire.
We were in the fourth row.
Uh-huh.
And I was tired, so I just knocked out. And I missed practically the whole show. And... You know,
how do you fall asleep at a concert?
Well,
at
a Kiss concert.
At Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
You did?
They pound drums.
Yeah, that's
a
loud show.
You know, they run through the audience.
Paint their faces red.
They do that. I couldn't keep my eyes
you
open.
You fell asleep.
But I think my best story was in Vegas when we went to a little place called Olympic Gardens. And you know how... Yes, it's a strip club. And you know they have like the runway and you know you can pull up a chair. Well, I did.
You can sit far away from the stage or you can sit next to the
stage. You can sit right up on them. So, you know, I just put my head down, took a little nap, had a dollar up and thought that would be cool. You know, I was like, I was tired.
Fell asleep at the runway.
Was it cool?
The bouncer didn't think so, yeah. So he kindly escorted me out. So, yeah.
Sweet. All right. Let's go to Bob as we start this phone topic. 1-800-520-1067. Bob, where did you fall asleep?
Hey there.
Where did you fall asleep?
I fell asleep at work during a meeting, which was a training for me and like three other people.
So it was a training for four people, yeah. And you fell asleep.
And I worked at a bank, so it was a pretty important training.
Yeah.
Were you already hired, or were you?
I had already been there for a while.
Oh, okay.
I live over in Anaheim. I commuted to Redondo Beach every day. So I would wake up at 5:30 to get there at 7.
Yeah, that's a bit of a drive.
And, I also had school, so I would leave there at 5 to get to school at 7, and then I'd be up at, I'd be doing school until like 10:30, and then home at 11.
Brutal
schedule.
And I'd
wake up at 5:30 to get to work.
Wow. Rough.
You know, that happened to me too.
Thank you. What?
That happened to me too. I forgot
training
about
at
that.
Work?
Yeah. It was meet the new GM day.
Here?
Yeah. And
we have GMs come through here. General manager. Yeah, a new one
and,
like every
and
six
so we
months.
Had a meeting and I started nodding off and he goes, am I boring you, Mr. Sanchez? I was like, no, but I did wake up at 4 o'clock this morning and it's 3 p.m. You
There's
know,
really
so.
Your body wins. There's really nothing you can do. It doesn't your body doesn't sense that it's a more important time so that you don't fall asleep.
You get into that weird sort of hypnotic state, and it's just impossible to shake out of
nothing
it.
Nothing you can do about it except sleep.
Yeah,
Chris. Hi.
Hey.
Inappropriate sleeping. What happened?
Well, I was a lifeguard at a pool, and I fell asleep while on duty.
Not done that. Bad, Chris.
Can you fall asleep while sitting up so at least people thought you were awake, or do you slump over?
I had it down where it's actually because they have this thing where you're supposed to nod your head to look like you're walking, watching the water, so my head was nodding, just not in the way they actually wanted it to.
Oh, man.
Chris, it sounds like you did this more than once.
No, this was the one time I was actually working three jobs at the time, and
That's
it was
rough.
An indoor pool for physical therapy, so they had to have the heater jacked to about 85 degrees,
right.
Water temperature about the same, so it was just perfect sleeping scenario.
Sweet. Did you get fired?
I did. Very good.
Thanks for the call, 1-800-520-1067. You fell asleep at the wrong time. We'll take your calls now. Raul tweets that he fell asleep on the dance floor at a rave right in front of the speaker.
Wow.
You know when you're sitting in front of the speaker, you can feel every beat
pulse
through your body?
Oh,
fell asleep right there.
We got an email from Randy who said, no joke, on the freeway going 75 miles an hour as I was passing a highway patrolman.
Nice.
Only for a moment.
Nice.
But it was enough to get a ticket.
Nice. Talking about falling asleep at inappropriate times, Lamar Odom fell asleep on a courthouse bench during his own child custody hearing. That seems bad.
That seems bad.
Let's begin with Trevor. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, how's it going, party people?
Good, thank you.
Good. A long time ago, I got up the nerve to ask up this gorgeous girl that I worked with at Disneyland, and we decided to go see Empire Strikes Back when it was re-released in the theaters.
Right.
And halfway through, I fell asleep, woke up at the end of the movie.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Now, here's the question. Was she gone?
No, she wasn't.
Wow,
gone.
He was a ride.
So yeah,
you must have been good times.
How many people have fallen asleep during sex?
Oh, that's another topic. I think probably.
I bet that happens.
Yeah. Let's go to Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi there. Where'd you fall asleep?
My grandmother passed away a few years back, and I actually left out of the country. Actually, paid to go to her funeral. And while they had her wake in a room, you know, one room, I went to the other room to sit down. And during the procession to take her to be buried, I passed out. And so I was missing in action when they actually took her and buried her. And to this day, my dad will hold it over my head that I flew down there for nothing, because how is it that I conveniently went to another room to sit down and completely passed out? And nobody went to get me. They just... I was just missing an action.
Your dad's doing the right thing. He should torture you with that forever.
And he does. He does. This happened like 10 years back. And to this day, he still, you know, brings it up. So, yeah, that was like pretty bad.
Nicely done. You don't want to fall asleep at a funeral. That seems bad form.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Joe. Good.
Joe, you fell asleep at an inappropriate time. What was happening?
I used to work overnight at a radio station, and I had to stay late into the day one day to run the board on a Dodger game. And right in the middle of the game, fell asleep and had dead air during a network commercial break. General manager comes running in, station manager comes running in, wake me up. I switched the game over to our other normal sports feed.
Right.
But the game wasn't done. So I actually dumped our network out of a Dodger feed right in the middle of the game.
You don't want to do that to Dodger
fans, by the way.
No, nor their commercial sponsor.
No, that seems to not
Did you stay there?
Can I answer that?
It took another year to get my
What?
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Must have been working for us. Let's go to Mary. This happens all the time. I saw a girl that fell asleep at one of our shows. Mary, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
You fell asleep when?
At Acoustic Christmas at Universal Amphitheater.
Who was playing that year?
Well, it was 97. So it was like we were really rocking. I think No Doubt was up. And then Sarah McLachlan came on.
Ah.
It was it was over. Some guy was passing a joint around the back. And
sure.
That was just it. I think I was like 17. And I woke up and I just remember Dave Navarro and the Jane's Addiction guy making out.
Yeah, Perry Farrell, yes.
You're like, is this a dream?
I do remember that. You're like, what's happening?
Really cool, yeah. So the rest of the concert was great. It's just, you know, Sarah McLachlan really.
Sometimes
you gotta
catch a little quick nap.
Sure.
I hear you. Thank you, Mary.
Long show.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Deanna. I believe that's how you say your name. Deanne, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very,
hi, good.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, I fell asleep during a yoga class.
During a yoga class.
Yes.
So you're actively, physically involved in doing something, not just sitting.
Right. It was very tiring, I guess, and I just fell asleep.
Wow. Strong. Right. I like that. Thank you. Let's go to Todd. Hi, Todd.
Hey there.
Hey, you fell asleep when?
I fell asleep when the first time I met my fiance's father.
How did that happen?
Sweet.
Well, I used to be real heavy. I was over 400 pounds, and if I stopped moving, I fell asleep. So
you're just making a big impression.
Yeah, pretty much. We were at a Halloween party. We sat down in the living room to talk, and I was gone.
Oh, wow. Todd.
Wow, while you were talking to father-in-law.
Pretty much, yeah.
She break up with you?
No, we got married.
That's amazing.
How about that? Lucky you. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
We are good, but yours is spectacular.
I was in Israel, and I was at the Holocaust Museum, and we had a woman, a survivor, talking about her experience, and I fell asleep in the room, and there was like 15 people there.
Dude. You're going to hell.
That's
you
rough.
Know that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You're going to hell, though.
Yeah,
you know that,
it's
right?
It's that bad.
That'll be pretty bad as well.
Okay, thank you for the call. And let's go to Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Rich.
I fell asleep at the wheel of the USS John H. Sides naval ship.
You were the pilot or the captain or whatever you call?
Not a captain. No, they just put regular enlisted guys at the wheel. The captain tells them where to steer.
And you fell asleep?
Yes, sir.
Well, I can't even get my head around that.
That seems all kinds of bad. Did you run into something?
No, but luckily it was in the early 80s, and it was before, or it was after Vietnam, and it was before Grenada. So it was not any time of war. Otherwise, it was a punishable by death offense.
Punishable by death?
Oh, my.
Time of war.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Fall asleep at the wheel of a U.S. Navy ship. It's punishable by death.
Well, what did they do to you, Rich?
What happened?
Oh, they court-martialed me.
Oh, you got court-martialed.
Big time.
Jeez.
Dishonorable discharge?
I remember the officer of the deck turned around and told the guy who put me in the seat at the front of the wheel, he said, if you don't write that guy up, I'm writing you up. So, of course, little guy.
Sweet.
I was the one who fell asleep.
Man.
Hey, thanks for serving your country, Rich.
Anytime.
Adam Carolla joins us now. He, of course, is doing his live podcast tonight at the Irvine Improv with guests from Comedy Central's Workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah, look out, world.
That's tonight. And then Saturday night, you're doing Cal State Northridge Valley Performing Arts Center with Dennis Prager.
I never stop working.
You don't. You work a lot for a lazy dude.
Yeah, I don't know. That's Kimmel will tell you that. I'm the hardest working, laziest dude in the world, and I look like a retarded Pete Sampras.
That's true, too. All of the above are true. Adam calls weekly for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working our way up to number one, a lot of talk in the news about those ladies who got all shot up with the pickup truck and Dorner's pickup truck, and now they want a new one, and who's going to give them a new one, and all that kind of stuff. I would like to buy the old one.
You want the old one?
I that would be my daily form of transportation in L.A. I would buy the old truck. I would blow through every stop sign. I would drive 20 miles an hour over the posted speed limit.
Right.
I'd drive 50 miles an hour in reverse through school zones. And then when the LAPD pulled me over, I'd go, oh, you're giving me a ticket? Because check the 100 bullet holes in the tailgate, asswipe, really. So let me get this straight. My mom and my sister go out and try to deliver a couple newspapers one morning. You and your buddies empty a couple of clips into the back of their neck, and now I'm getting a ticket for rolling through a four-way stop? Yeah, that's awesome. Keep riding. My mom's going to love to hear this when I get home.
That sounds like a pretty well-thought-out plan.
You'd never get another ticket, would you?
That's true.
Never.
That is true.
You'd be the toast of the town. You'd just get in that thing. I'd get drunk and just drive in circles around my house until somebody pulled me over. I'd open the window, I'd vomit on their shoes, and then I'd start cursing at them, and I'd start talking about my mom and my sister trying to deliver those newspapers. And that'd be it.
Leave it to you to come up with a genius idea over death.
I will pay $100,000 for that truck right now. I will save millions over the cost of my lifetime, over the course of a lifetime. All right, speaking of the kids, my daughter, here's a nice... I had a nice moment with my daughter yesterday. I was upstairs skipping my rope. My wife was out. I came downstairs to walk into the kitchen. My daughter was watching TV and thought it was my wife coming around the corner.
Yeah.
And she heard the floor creaking or something. And I came around the corner and she went, "Mommy!" And she spun around, "Mommy!" And she saw me and she went, "Ugh."
Oh, what a bad wake-up call.
Yeah, that's like that's not rehearsed. That's not planned. You don't train for that. That's organic.
Yeah.
That is from the mouth of babes. I saw her face light up like a pinball machine. Yeah. Mama!
That's right from the heart there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's painful.
She made the sound that Archie Bunker would make when he'd have to get out of his chair. So disgusting.
In her defense, your wife is much more attractive than you.
I know, but can't dad walk into the kitchen? Can't the guy who pays for everything walk into the kitchen without getting a disgruntled grunt?
Did you give her a good talking to?
Oh, I took out my hairbrush and beat her silly, because that's what I do. And then she went to the school. She's in the first grade, so she went to the school cafeteria for the first time. She was telling me the other day, first trip to the school cafeteria, and, you know, you have all those memories of square pizza and fish sticks and corn dogs, and I just said, well, what'd you get? What's the first thing you've ever eaten in a school cafeteria? And she said, edamame. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Out of sashimi? Like, what's the deal? And then I just thought Steve Martin couldn't have written that joke, right?
Right.
That you can't write edamame for a six-year-old in a school cafeteria. I mean, nothing says Hollywood like that, right?
People
in Iowa think this is a joke.
Right.
On the blue-collar comedy tour, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We are. Think about every single stereotype the South had about Hollywood 20 years ago. We far exceeded it, right?
This is why the terrorists hate us.
It's part of the reason. And number one, all right, now you got to go along with me on this journey.
Oh no,
journey here, please.
That always scares me when Adam says
this one's fine.
All right,
hotel clocks. In the room, the hotel clock, the one on the nightstand.
Right.
First off, it's facing the wrong direction.
Always.
It faces straight ahead.
Yes. Yes.
It's not like you go, oh, good, I'm going to make a pillow fort with these sheets in front of the clock over here on the floor. You have to turn the clock every single time. You have to turn the clock toward you so you can read it when you get up in the morning.
I've never been in a hotel room where I didn't have to do that.
Right. And by the way, turning that clock is like turning the steering wheel on a bus that's parked in sand, right? It's like, come on, you mother. It's like, no, I was told to face this direction. Come on, turn. And then the cord jumps in. I'm with you, clock. Not enough cord. I won't give him enough cord to turn. Where are you in that hotel room where you are straight on? If you are straight on that clock, your back is against the wall 8 feet in front of it.
That's true.
Or you're sitting on the chest of drawers that's in front of it, right?
And somehow they make it so that you can't see it from the bed.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you why. There is the boulder size pillows they put on the bed. You can't, so you have to throw all the pillows on the floor.
Right.
And then you have to try to turn the clock, which fights you every inch. And then you realize, like, well, first off, I'm doing a wake-up call, and I got an iPhone with an alarm in it. So I no longer need the clock alarm. All the clock does is go off at 4 in the morning because some asswipe turned it all the way up and set it before they left the room, which is the greatest joke of all time
to play.
We've all been burned by that. Also, the only human being who would ever turn it on and use it as a radio in whatever city they don't want to be in would be Bean.
That's
right?
True, yeah. Yes.
There's no other human being other than Bean who would say, yeah, I want to catch up on some of the local news, weather, and traffic.
Yeah, that's true. It's iPod or nothing.
Right. So you don't need the radio part. You don't need the alarm part because you got that in your iPod and you got them calling you way up. Every single clock in a hotel room from this day forth should be on the wall above the television set.
Would Brilliant.
That be? Yeah, you're right.
I've just created a utopia.
Brilliant.
I'm done. That's it.
When Adam Carolla runs the world.
That's it.
He will solve all problems. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
You can follow Adam on Twitter, @AdamCarolla. He, again, is doing a live podcast at Irvine Improv tonight with the Comedy Central cast of Workaholics. And Saturday night, he's going to be with Dennis Prager at the Cal State Northridge Valley Performing Arts Center. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Welcome to my life, Ralph.
Oh,
trying to get
computer.
Madness. What's going on over there?
He's trying desperately to
trying to read the story on TMZ, and Bear was like, let's go to the Burger King website. See what the breakfast order menu looks like.
Okay.
Ed Asner apparently rushed to the hospital.
I heard that this morning.
Ed Asner, one of my favorites. He was Lou Grant on freaking Mary Tyler Moore, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
My entire childhood is dying in front of my eyes. Every week, some other star of some sitcom I watched as a kid is just, boom, 6 feet under. Bonnie Franklin, One Day at a Time. That Rhoda's got brain cancer. Just one by one, they're all just dying right in front of my eyes.
It shouldn't surprise you. These shows were on 30 or 40 years ago.
But they were still integral parts of my childhood, and it still... It gives you a pang of mortality when you start to see your TV favorites pass away in front of your eyes.
Ed Asner
on
seems
a daily
like,
basis.
Seems like he's been 100 for 30 years.
That's why he always worked, because he lost his hair when he was 12, and he always looked like he was 50. So he was playing old men when he was 30, and he's playing old men now when he's 80 or whatever. But he was doing a one-man show, and he was rushed to the hospital. That's bad news right there. He used to be my president, by the way. He was president of SAG for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Know what you're talking about.
But... That's sad news. I love him. I love how cranky he is. You ever hear one of those solar power commercials, the radio commercials?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Varango Solar. Hey, they put panels on your roof and it saves you money. All right, Ed, but what's the catch? Catch? There's no catch. That's literally in a commercial. He's like yelling at the guy he's talking to. Love Ed. Hope he's well. Hope he gets okay. All right, I got very little time here and a lot to talk about. Let's start with... the K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament. How about that?
Yes.
It's happening March the 15th at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. You will have your chance to play with those of us here on the morning show. It's Kevin, myself, Dave the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, and lots of people are going to come out. All you have to do, it's for K-Rock listeners only, all you do to register is go to krock.com. You can register. The top five finishers will... get a taste of over $10,000 in cash and prizes.
Sweet.
After the tournament, there's a giant party at the Tacos and Tequilas restaurant that just opened up there at Morongo. It's going to be a blast. It's this Friday. You got to be 21 or over. if you want to participate. And, of course, when the tournament starts, there's going to be a ton of tables. Each of us will only be at one table. So if you'd like to be guaranteed a seat at Kevin's table, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, hi, this is David Hatton.
Wrong one.
Yay!
Why wouldn't you want to sit at Kevin's table? You know how drunk Kevin's table is going to be?
How dare you, sir?
And that's just Kevin.
If you'd like to sit at Kevin's table, I've got one slot open at his table. 1-800-520-1067. Since it's March the 15th, this Friday, let's take caller number 15. If you're caller number 15, you will sit at Kevin's table.
But don't show up with your not knowing how to play blackjack BS.
Oh,
and
here
sit
we go.
Down and hold on a 16.
Here's
with
Uncle
a dealer
Cranky.
Showing a 5.
Here's Uncle Cranky. You play your cards,
I'll
play
rules.
Mine, all
know
right?
Know the rules.
That's why it's called K-Rock's Good Times Blackjack Tournament.
Know the rules.
Because Kevin will just be yelling at you. That'll be a good time. Anyway, it's going to be happening in Morongo. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. Speaking of good times, remember the old TV series Good Times? What a
yes.
segue. We're talking about old TV shows, and we're talking about the Good Times Blackjack Tournament. Remember Good Times?
Did someone else die?
With Jimmy J.J. Walker?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Lisa, I would say quite the opposite. Good Times has been resurrected. Entertainment Weekly confirms an earlier report that the guy who wrote Cedar Rabbits and Wreck-It Ralph, those two scripts,
mm-hmm.
he has written and has just got the green light for the big budget movie version of Good Times.
All right.
Do we really need Good Times in our movie theater?
Sounds like a bad idea. But I just saw Wreck-It Ralph, and it was really well
done.
No,
this guy's a good writer. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but that's why I'm surprised he picked Good Times as his subject matter.
Good Times! I don't think we need that.
Dynamite!
Right.
Is that on the big screen? Do we need that?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Plus, how pissed is Tyler Perry? He didn't get a shot at Good Times. That's his kind of show right there.
Mm.
Black family struggling, saying wisecracky things to each other. Oh, that's Tyler Perry.
Only if he can
it.
Play every role.
And once again, segue into beautiful segue. For those of you missing your favorite TV shows, how about you marshmallows out there? How about you Veronica Mars fans?
Loved it.
That's not on anymore. That's been off for years. 10 years.
Dave's favorite show of all time, maybe, Veronica Mars.
Really?
Lisa May loved it, too.
Yep.
It was a great show.
It was a great show.
Started on the UPN, then the UPN merged with the WB, and they became the CW, and then it was on there for a bunch of years. I think it was canceled in 2007, I want to say. So that's 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Anyway, they've been talking about doing a Veronica Mars movie for some time now. And finally, the powers that be, and by that I mean Kristen Bell and creator Rob Thomas, have all gotten together, and they are going to make the Veronica Mars movie if they can raise $2 million. That's what it's going to cost. That's what the budget's going to cost. So where did they go? Freaking Kickstarter.
Did they really?
They are now on Kickstarter. I guess it started this morning. They opened up taking donations for the Kickstarter plea to get Veronica Mars up on the big screen. Dave first showed it to me. There was $2,000 so far they had collected.
Right.
As we were watching it, we left it on the screen. It's now well over $150,000.
Wow!
It is going like gangbusters. If they do get their $2 million budget, it will be the largest money-making effort ever on Kickstarter for a motion picture. They are determined to get it made. If they raise $2 million, Warner Brothers has said they will kick in the rest for marketing and promotions and all that other stuff.
Oh, I love Kristen Bell.
He does love Kristen Bell. Like, we have to talk to her about this, right? Can we get her on the show, my Kristen Bell?
He says about the girl that he scared off from our program.
With the salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah.
Looked like him and her.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like her and then looked like, I don't know, Tattoo from Fantasy Island was the other one. Anyway, if you're a fan, and who isn't? Anybody who saw that show liked it. And you'd like to see Veronica Mars, the big screen version. There's a very funny video that the entire cast got together and shot to help promote it. You can go to their Kickstarter page and you can donate. And there's a whole bunch of cool things you get. You know, when you donate to Kickstarter, usually you get some...
I don't know. I've never done that.
You've never done it?
No.
Usually if you donate to a project that you're interested in, you get a little bonus, you get a little something. It's like those PBS fundraisers
mm-hmm.
where if you give a certain amount of money, you get like a DVD or a t-shirt or something like that. They've got a bunch of cool Veronica Mars stuff that you can get if you donate. They'll give you, you can up to like tickets for the premiere party if you want to go hang out with the cast. There was one, a role, $10,000. If you donate $10,000, you get a role in the movie as a waiter who has one line and talks to Veronica Mars.
Oh, I need to be a waiter.
It's gone. Can't even get it. Somebody already snapped it
really?
Up.
Really? Gone.
That's the hardcore Veronica Mars fans out there. So if you are a fan of that show, kick in a little money. It's like a buck. You can give a buck if you want. You can give 10. You can give 10,000. But I think it would be great to see this.
King of Mexico, what's it up to now? You're watching it. You got it on your computer.
176044.
All right, almost $200,000 so far in the span of, I don't know, an hour and a half since we've been watching it.
I already gave 200.
All right. Like you can afford that.
Please.
I can, but I'm doing it anyways.
Who says numbers like that?
17744. It is 1942782. He thinks he's giving out a phone number. So over $170,000 just in the past couple hours. I think they're going to reach their goal.
They are.
That's pretty odd. They're almost a tenth of the way there. They got a month. I think it's going for a month. So go over there. If you're a fan, give them a little something-something and try to get that up on the big screen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emil Hirsch is 28 years old. Caron Butler of the Clippers, speaking of Dave the King of Mexico, he's 33. Common is 41. Adam Clayton, bassist for U2, celebrates his 53rd birthday. And actress Dana Delaney, she celebrates 57 years of life. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are joined now by the president of USC, Dana White, on the phone. Hi, Dana.
How you doing?
Good. How have you been?
Great. How are you?
It's finally happening. George St. Pierre versus Nick Diaz.
It is.
Saturday night. It's been a long time coming, right?
It has. And George St. Pierre begged us for this fight. He wanted this fight so bad.
Now, there's been a lot of talk back and forth about this fight. The first time it was scheduled, what happened? Diaz skipped the press conference or something like that?
Yeah, so first time it was scheduled, he doesn't show up for the press conference, which nobody has ever done in the history of the company.
Right.
So I ended up pulling the fight away from him. You know, part of their obligations is things like press conference. George St. Pierre flew to Vegas from Montreal. You know, Diaz was in Stockton and didn't come down here.
Right.
So, I pulled the fight. I had a different fight set up for George St. Pierre, and I had made a different fight for Diaz. Then George St. Pierre got injured, blew his knee out, and had to have his knee fixed. Took about a year and a half before he came back. Then he fought Carlos Condit, defended the title against him, and then called out Nick Diaz and wanted the Nick Diaz fight.
And he said he wanted to, what, beat his ass? Were those his words?
Said, I'm going to put the worst beating on him you've ever seen in the UFC.
Because he's disrespectful. And then there was the phone press conference, which I'd like to play a little piece of if I could. This is the press asking George St. Pierre if he is indeed pampered, as Nick Diaz says he is. And you won't hear George St. Pierre because Nick Diaz jumps right in and answers for him.
Going back to Nick's comments for a response, are you pampered?
I hope so, motherfucker. If I had that much money, I'd be pampering myself the up. I'd be having pampering my left and right. There'd be every hour on hour showing up to pamper me out, period.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, but I don't know that he's been able to do it. It's hard to fight a guy like Nick Diaz and not get sucked into that mind game.
Right. Well, that's how this whole thing started. The whole thing really started by him just saying so much stuff about George and that George is afraid of him, you know, and finally George literally flipped out the last night after Nick fought and started calling him out again and said, you know, I want this fight. I don't care if this fight makes sense, doesn't make sense, whatever. This is the fight that I want. And the guy's been an amazing champion. He's defended the title since 2006. How do I say no to the guy?
All right, let me ask you this then. Just because he really wants this fight, is it going to be a good fight?
Nick Diaz is great standing up. Nick Diaz is great on the ground. You know, this is a real fight. It's definitely a real fight. And anytime, listen, Nick Diaz might not show up to press conferences. He shows up to fight.
Yeah, he does. And I'm not saying this because I could beat him up, but seriously, he does have that kind of chip on his shoulder. He almost looks like he's going to cry at any moment, like that.
Oh, no, yeah, the guy's literally on the verge of snapping all the time.
He is.
Every press conference he's in is over the top crazy.
Now, did you give him some
week? You know, the thing is, for this week leading up to this fight, obviously everybody's excited about the fight, but I'm excited about the press conference. I'm excited about the weigh-ins. You just don't know what's going to happen.
I saw the press conference that you guys had. I think it was this week already. It was a video press conference. It looked like he had, I don't know, like you supplied him some Valium or something. Because he was I don't have any problem with anybody. I'm good.
That was in Montreal. When we announced tickets on sale.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he was a very different person then.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Why do you think, Jordan?
And I knew. I told everybody because, you know, that fight, that press conference was so mellow. I said, watch what happens as we get closer to the fight. Nick Diaz will come out again as we get closer to the fight.
It's kind of impossible for him not to, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it really is.
That's what makes it kind of fun.
This fight is very interesting in that if this fight stays standing for any amount of time, let me tell you what, Diaz's stand-up is nasty. When he hits people, he hurts them. And on the ground, he's great at jiu-jitsu, but George is just so good at nullifying anything once he takes you down on the ground and then just pounding you. And he wants to beat Diaz so bad.
How is George's chin? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, he's held the title since 2006. He's fought everybody in the welterweight division. He took a mean kick to the head from Carlos Condit in his last fight.
Oh, that's right.
And won. So.
Also, on the rest of the main card is Carlos Natural Born Killer Condit. What a great nickname that is.
That is awesome.
It's so much better than The Martian, which is Mike Ricci, who's fighting on the same.
And Condit and Hendricks, you know, is the co-main event. Condit is unbelievably nasty, well-rounded. Johnny Hendricks is a great wrestler who's been knocking everybody out. This guy's been knocking everybody out. So that's an exciting fight, too. And we got, this is basically like a welterweight tournament. We got Ellenberger versus Marquardt, you know, six of the best welterweights in the world.
Well, I'll tell you, it looks like it's a great bill. Again, it is Saturday night at 7 o'clock on pay-per-view. It's George St. Pierre and Nick Diaz, and like we mentioned, a bunch of other fights. And if you watch any of these pay-per-views, you know that any one of those fights can be the fight of the night.
Yeah.
Can just dominate and be so exciting you have no idea which one, which is part of the fun.
And our prelims, the preliminary fights, are always live and free on FX. They start at 5 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. So
you have like four fights on FX. You have three on Facebook.
Yep.
They start at like 8 a.m., I think. So get up early on Saturday and get your fill of the UFC. Dana, we always appreciate the time that you give to the Kevin and Bean Show.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks for the support.
You bet. Ralph Garman is here for a final look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning.
Surprise, your boy Roland didn't mention the new Kick-Ass 2 trailer that just hit the interwebs this morning.
Oh, really?
Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah, Kick-Ass 2, the Red Band trailer now available online. You can get it at it through MTV News and a couple other sites have it posted, but it looks awesome. And I'll tell you something, it recreates scene for scene almost all the stuff from the Kick-Ass 2 comic book, too. They really very faithful to the original, so... This looks amazing. The original cast is back. Aaron Taylor Johnson as the titular hero, Kick-Ass 2. Stop it. Chloe Grace Moretz is back as Hit Girl. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, only this time he's not Red Mist. He's back as an even more evil persona, the Mother Effer. Is the name of his new supervillain. It just looks outstanding. So looking forward to seeing that film. As I mentioned before, Veronica Mars. Very popular TV series with a hardcore, diehard fan base.
Oh, it's a good show.
It was a really good show, and it's been off the air now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. They had always been talk of bringing it back in some incarnation, maybe as a miniseries or a TV project or a major motion picture. It looks like they're going to go the movie route. Just posted on Kickstarter.com this morning was the plea of star Kristen Bell and creator Rob Thomas to raise the funds to produce a Veronica Mars movie. They couldn't get anyone to finance it because they thought it had limited box office appeal.
That's shocking, considering it did have a pretty hardcore following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there, you know, it takes a lot of money to not only produce, but then promote and market and release a film. So they're going to the fans. They're going to all the marshmallows, as they're known as, via Kickstarter. And they're going to, if they can raise $2 million in a month, they will make the movie this summer.
Why did they call them marshmallows?
Mars, Veronica Mars, Mars, marshmallows.
Got it.
Yeah. So they started today, early this morning. Dave King of Mexico was a hardcore Veronica Mars fan, turned me on to it. And I was looking at the site when he announced it, and it was like $2,000, I think. They need to raise $2 million in a month.
Right.
Right now, the number is well over $300,000.
Wow.
So it's the course of a couple hours. That's how much they've raised.
Actually, it's 370-844.
That's how Dave reached dollar amounts. 370-844 is how much monies they have.
He does call it monies.
So almost $400,000.
That's crazy.
So they're almost a
almost
400,000. So that's almost a quarter of the way there. They just need a measly $2 million. Kevin, why don't you just kick in the other mill and a half? You got it in your pocket in wadded up 20s. Just give it to him.
Most of my money is wadded up ones.
Become a producer, man.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can get if you give a certain amount of money. You can get tickets to the premiere party and the after party with the cast. You can get T-shirts. And there's one thing, if you don't live in Los Angeles, you can get a screening of the film in your hometown. Invite all your friends. They'll rent out a theater for you and put up a screening.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So depending on how much you donate, you get little thank you gifts, little rewards. So it's worth checking out. Go to Kickstarter.com. I think it's called The Veronica Mars Movie Project. So, giving you the heads up. We should get Kristen Bell on the show to talk to us about that, if she is over her fear of Dave. Remember how Dave scared her off?
Yeah.
By getting salt and pepper shakers that looked like the two of them?
That was supposed to look like the two of them.
They were a couple?
Yeah.
Oh, you're salt and pepper.
And where are those salt and pepper shakers?
I think he mailed them to her. And then we never heard from her again.
That was the
end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Casting news, brand new series by J.J. Abrams, going to be on Fox. It's a drama called Human, where cops in the LAPD in the near future are teamed up with highly evolved human-like androids. So, it's much like the TV series Robot Cop from the 70s, only not nearly as cheesy.
Robot
Cop? You remember Robot Cop?
No.
Oh, it was the best.
That was awesome.
I don't remember that either.
No, 70s. I think it was called Future Cop. Maybe I think it was called Future Cop.
All right.
But it was Ernest Borgnine as a crusty old police officer. And he was teamed up with a robot. And John Amos was from Good Times was his one of his other partners.
That
he was
terrible.
Always amazed by the robot. He's like, how can he know all that? Like, he's like really smart and he runs really fast and everything. No one knew it was a robot. You know?
All right.
Anyway, Minka Kelly will be starring
all right.
in the J.J. Abrams version, which is much more attractive than Ernest Borgnine.
Agreed.
Just barely. Since we're talking about John Amos and Good Times, how about Good Times the movie? They didn't have to go to freaking Kickstarter. They got just a big check written to them. What? You kidding me? You want to make a movie out of that series that went dynamite? Yeah, here's my check. Make it.
No way.
Veronica Mars.
No way.
Veronica Mars can't get a movie made, but dynamite.
That's a good point.
That can get on the big screen.
That's crazy.
They've just announced they are putting that together. The guy who wrote Wreck-It Ralph, he's writing the script for this one, and it's going to be as the original TV series was, about a lower-income black family who has to pull together to keep their head above water.
No!
It's a little low, sorry.
Fight the good fight. No word on whether Jimmy J.J. Walker will be appearing as a now 65-year-old cameo going, dynamite! No word yet. And Taylor Swift throws out your fan letters. That's right, people. If you're a Taylor Swift fan, that's what you get. That's what you deserve.
That is what you deserve. That's true.
A news team in Nashville found hundreds of unopened fan letters addressed to Taylor Swift in a dumpster behind an elementary school. Investigative reporter went to the strip mall where Taylor has a post office box. That's where all her fan mail gets sent to. And the staff says, oh, no, we open and read every one of them. And then we recycle them because we care about the planet. So these must have accidentally been put in the recycle pile.
Oh, what a
and
shame
that's
that
why
is.
They got thrown. Oh, we'll take those. No, we'll take them off your hands. Oh, no, Taylor loves her fans. She wants to read those. So they went to the TV station to pick up the mail so that she could use it as toilet paper. So if you're writing her, she's not reading your mail. Stop it. She's bad.
People still send letters? That still happens?
A lot.
Yeah.
Huh.
Fan mail is still a big deal.
I know, but isn't it gone like email and stuff?
Well, they know nobody reads your email.
Yeah, they know that just is a massive delete button.
Yeah. You
know,
same thing about the
letters. A lot of people will send emails because they want something back in return. They like send me an autographed picture and they'll include a self-addressed envelope and stuff so they can get something back in return. And Michael Jackson's kids are in the news. Of course, they're all getting work these days. Prince Michael was on Entertainment Tonight. Paris, at 14, was given a standing offer by the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader squad to go try out for them.
Creepy.
No word on Blanket. I don't think Blanket's earning any cash. He's 11 years old. Get out there, Blanket. Start selling oranges on the freeway off-ramp or something. Come on. Jacksons need money.
What are you doing?
LaToya needs some cash. She's their agent these days. But I thought this was an interesting article about their names. We've always known them as Prince, Paris, and Blanket. That's right. He called his kid Blanket. You got a problem with that?
He did.
But it turns out that's not their legal names at all. Their legal names are much more Michael-centric than their nicknames.
Hard to imagine.
Michael Jackson named them all after himself. Prince Michael, as he is known, the firstborn, is actually known as Michael Joseph Jackson Jr. So he's Michael Jr.
But Prince has nothing to do with
Prince
his
has nothing
not even
to
part
do
of it.
Blanket, however, is legally named Prince Michael Jackson.
Well, so the one that's not called Prince is first Prince. Named Prince.
Blanket is Prince.
Okay.
Prince is Michael.
All right.
And Paris is actually only part of her hyphenated first name, which is Paris Michael. She is Paris Michael Catherine Jackson.
Who are these parents that have to name their kids, all of their kids, after them?
It's just George Foreman and Michael Jackson, as far as I know.
It's crazy. So,
now you're up to date on the Jackson family.
Dynamite!
I'm bringing that back. I think that's a very
good luck with that.
Hip expression that people will really enjoy. I mentioned making a Good Times movie.
You did.
Did I mention that?
You mentioned that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emil Hirsch, very talented actor, Into the Wild, Speed Racer. A lot of Speed Racer fans defending the film, by the way.
Really?
Is that right?
Yes. They really enjoyed it.
Make any money.
And by a lot
it was a bomb, but I thought it was really fun. I thought it was very cool looking. The Wachowski brother and
Brothers,
sister
yeah.
did that.
Your brother and sister, right?
Yeah. 28 years old today. Caron Butler, Clippers forward, is 33 years old.
I love him, too.
Oh, I love the Clappers. Danny Masterson is 37 years old from that 70s show. Rapper and actor Common celebrates his 41st birthday. Adam Clayton, bass player for U2, is 53 years old today. Dana Delaney was in a popular series called China Beach for many seasons. Now she's on Body of Proof on ABC. I always remember her from Tombstone, one of my favorite films ever. She was the sexy actress slash singer that Wyatt Earp falls for in that film. She is 57 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Travis Fimmel, whose name you may not recognize, but he is the lead in Vikings.
Ah, Vikings.
On the History Channel.
Big numbers for Vikings. Vikings Huge. And the Bible are making the History Channel. History.
So I have Travis Fimmel tomorrow, and then Jesus will be on Friday.
Oh, good. He's a big part of that Bible.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow, and Allison Brie.